In our second reading today, we're continuing in the Gospel of Matthew. Not sure what Jack preached on last week, but we went over to Fircrest. We got back earlier than we thought, so we went to Fircrest for worship, and Reverend Johnson, Julie, preached a really wonderful sermon. And then the gospel story is kind of interrupted with Jesus' disciples coming to him and letting him know that John the Baptist has been executed. And there's a story of how, but Jesus, when we pick up our message today, Jesus has just learned that John was killed, he was beheaded, and that his body had been taken off to be buried. And so we pick up the passage here, and we're told that, well, then the Pharisees, no, we're not there. So now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from where he was in a boat to be in a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard that he had left, they followed him on foot from all the towns. And he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." And Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And the apostles replied, "Well, we have nothing but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus said, "Bring them here to me." And then he ordered all the crowds to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and he blessed and he broke the loaves and he gave them to his disciples and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled and they took up what was left over in broken pieces. And it was enough to fill 12 baskets. And all those who ate were about 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. Let us pray. So, Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable to you. Amen. There were so many great passages this week. It was hard to choose which ones. I wanted to preach on all of them. So I of course, included that story of Jacob, when Jacob becomes Israel, as a reading. And I guess I've always loved that story because it is my story. You know, at some point when one is kind of percolating through life and just kind of doing the next thing that comes along, and you kind of get to a place where you have things and stuff and maybe you identify by that and maybe you come to a crossroads or you come to a stream, you come to an obstacle in your life, and as you're looking at that obstacle, what's on the other side of that feels terribly frightening. So on the other side of the Jabbok River was Esau with his 400. Esau was back when he stole the blessing by deceiving his father, his blind father. And he deceived him and he stole the brother's blessing. And that was the last that he had seen his brother. And he'd gone and, you know, about 20 years have passed, maybe more, since that event took place. And so here's Jacob. He's been dealing with his father-in-law, from whom he stole, and he walked off in the dark of the night with the father's children and with all of his grandchildren and with treasures from the house. And so Jacob just had a heck of a time. He thought he was being clever, but he was really creating a whole bunch of wounds. You know, he thought he was being clever when he stole the birthright from his brother. But he got the birthright, and then he got the blessing. But behind, he left brokenness and he left woundedness. Maybe trying to own all that. I don't know about you all, but when I look back at my life, I can look at some places where I have wounded people. And I carry with me the pain of that. It's with me. It weighs heavily on me. And I look at the obstacles that are immediately in front of me, and sometimes they seem tremendous. And yet, on the other side of that river is, who knows? But on the other side of that river is a encountering of my brother who I have wronged. And where if I am going to go back into the life that belongs to me, that I need to live, I have to find a way to confront and make peace with a brother that I have injured. And he's well armed. He's got the resources. He's actually got the goods on me. He can defeat me. Yeah, so I kind of know this feeling. And I love that Jacob, and he divested himself of everything that he thought made him who he was. He sent away his herds and his flocks. He sent away his wives and his children. And he knew that sometimes you just have to confront your past all by yourself. And so he laid down there on the river, waiting for the next day, not knowing if he would live or die. And he, on the side of the river, he has a vision or an encounter, and he wrestles through the entire night. And in the entire night, he is not vanquished, but he does not vanquish the opponent. And he, as the light's coming, he receives a blessing. And he gets this name, so he goes from being the heel, Jacob, to being one who has striven with God and survived. You know, and sometimes I feel my name could be Israel. Sometimes I really have a sense that it's like, you know, I'm just not all that. And in my life behind me, there is wreckage. And there is beauty. And I am a whole and complicated person. And I think about my life and what it is, and maybe what it could have been, and maybe what it isn't. And it's kind of like Jesus when he gets the message that John the Baptist, his mentor, his cousin, his friend, his teacher, the one who began this kind of movement, the one that baptized Jesus, that ordained him into his own position and his own activity in life, this John whom he loved, had been killed because of the vanity of the king's wife, totally senseless murder of this profound, significant, meaningful, proud, purposeful individual. His life had been killed on a whim. He'd been taken on a whim. And his body is just kind of cast off. It's laid in the ground. It's his disciples just take and kind of bury him. You get a sense that it's almost an unmarked grave. And Jesus is hurting from this loss of the friend. Just wants to be alone. You know that feeling where you're overwhelmed? It's been so much. It's like you just can't do one more thing. And so we have Jesus. He's kind of like Jacob in that place where he just feels like he can't do one more thing. He just needs to rest. So he gets on a boat to go to his quiet place, his deserted place, where he can be alone with his thoughts and his grief, when he can try to get an angle on what's happened and figure out, hey, where to go next. And he, can you imagine being Jesus? Or you're going to your getaway spot, your private place, your happy place where you're going to be by yourself and you're going to be able to deal with all that life has handed you. And as the boat is coming in, he sees a crowd of 5,000 or 8,000 or 10,000 people awaiting him on the shore. And they're waiting because they know him and they love him and they want to learn from him and they want to receive from him. I don't know, I think I would have just backed the boat up and I would have found some other place to go and be quieter. I might have just gone out and cast anchor in the middle of the ocean where I knew that nobody could come and get me and get something from me. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus saw the crowd, and he had compassion on the crowd. And he began to teach them, and he began to heal them, and he began to invite them into their own lives and into their own stories. And they stayed, you know, so they stayed the whole day. And it was getting to be evening, and they were probably hungry. And it's time to be done. I mean, I could still be one of Jesus' apostles. I would have been starting at 11 in the morning saying, maybe you should send them away for lunch. You know, maybe you should just send them away. Maybe we should have some time together. Maybe we should have this private moment. Maybe we should be able to, and Jesus says, no, don't send them away. He knows that this is what he's here for, to be present in the midst of their need, in the midst of their hurt. And he needs to teach them what he has to teach them. And his pain in this moment allows him to be courageous. And he says, so what do we got? Yeah, and so Lakewood Presbyterian Church, here's a question for you. What do we got? What is our little bit? What is it that we have to offer to that 5,000 people out there, that 8,000 people, that 12,000 people, that community of Lakewood, that county of Pierce, the city of Tacoma, the state of Washington, the United States of America? What is it that we have to offer in our insignificance? The boss said, got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus says, you know what? I think that's enough. Let's bless it and break it and give it to the people. A meal we're providing for them. And see what happens. Now, you know, and I don't know. I mean, I kind of prefer the idea that what happened is people went out on an outing and every one of them kind of brought enough food for their outing. And you know, some people maybe didn't. To his generosity, they said, well, if Jesus can be generous, so can we. Now, and how often do you have a bunch of guests in for dinner where you don't have a bunch of leftovers? We almost always overprepare when we get ready to have a banquet. And I'm thinking if I'm there, I'm in the front rows, and I see Jesus in generosity take these five loaves and 2 fish and break them and just give them to the people who are there and say, spread these out, let's see how far they go. I would go ahead and get in my backpack and I'd dig out my bologna sandwich, you know, and I would dig out my cheese curls, and I would dig out my iced tea. I would I would maybe have enough for me, and maybe I'd even want some of the stuff that the people next to me had offered to me, and maybe I would offer my stuff on beyond me. You know, so I like to think that this is where Jesus modeled generosity, and everybody in the crowd said, well, if Jesus can be generous, I can be generous too. And that's why there were 12 baskets, one for each of the tribes of Israel, 12 baskets full of leftovers. That in this crowd, there was more than enough among people who were perceived to be inadequate to the moment. Lakewood Presbyterian, visitors to Lakewood Presbyterian today. What is it that you bring this day to be about transforming the world through the generosity that we receive in Christ? I also like the parlor trick thing where, you know, did you ever watch Fantasia, the Disney version, where these things just start multiplying, and I don't know where they all come from, but all of a sudden it's like there's a whole bunch of it. I kind of like that as a thing, but it's not as significant to me as Jesus being generous with a little and letting all of us know that if even when we thought we had nothing to offer, that we have way more than we think. And that generosity of heart, the generosity of spirit, generosity of finance, generosity of space, generosity of holding people in the midst of the pain of their lives or the joy of their lives or on their birthday or their anniversary, that we celebrate together and we have more than enough to transform the people immediate to us and through them transform the world around us. My friends, we are adequate. God has given us enough, in fact, exactly what we need in order to be God's people who set about the transformation of community and thereby the world. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for these passages. Thank you that Jacob became Israel. And thank you that Barlow became Israel too. And whoever else here might want to claim that out of a life less than perfect, you have created something beautiful. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.